It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist with over 25 years of experience helping people regain their health through nutrition. And our co-host today is Wendy Cates Dancer. She's a registered nurse, a nutrition educator, and today we are talking about a very important health topic, aren't we, Wendy?
Yes, we are, Dar, a very important one. And all we have to do is open up any newspaper or news magazine, and you will see almost daily a reference to this health problem epidemic.
So, as a listener, are you guessing arthritis, or are you guessing diabetes, or did you guess obesity? So, if you guessed obesity, you're correct. In fact, you know, the Surgeon General recently called obesity, now this is interesting.
This is interesting.
The terror within, and said it is more devastating than the Black Death epidemic.
Oh, that sounds very serious.
It does.
I would not want to have that. So we know that 30% of Americans are obese. That rate has more than doubled in just the past 30 years.
I mean, it's gone from 15% up to 30%.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about the next 30 years, do you?
No. So obesity-related medical costs reached over $75 billion last year.
You said billion,
yes.
Not million.
No,
okay, that's
billion.
A lot. The Journal of American Medical Association reported that obesity causes 112,000, that's premature deaths, every year.
That's amazing. So, you know, the picture isn't very pretty, is it?
No, it's not.
So even President Bush got into the discussion recently when making an announcement about outsourcing of jobs to India. Now, this is kind of interesting.
This is interesting.
He said, in the long run, the weight loss for Americans not doing those jobs that had been outsourced, actually, the weight loss outweighed the fact that these people had lost their jobs because Americans didn't get overweight. Because why, Wendy?
Well, because that those jobs that were outsourced are sedentary jobs. So I guess we can let India have those jobs, right? So the people in India now can get fat instead of our United States workers.
It's kind of amazing. So what's causing this epidemic? You know, that low-fat nutrition approach was intended to stop the obesity epidemic. But let's face it, low-fat has failed miserably.
Yes, it has. And recent research, we know that most people blame their obesity on lack of exercise and lack of willpower rather than on the kinds of foods marketed in restaurants and in our grocery stores. And this just is, I had a lady in class on Thursday, and she said, when she goes to the grocery store and tries to get healthy food, she feels like she's walking through a minefield. Isn't that true, though?
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, an interesting poll that found that 74% of us view tobacco companies as unfavorable.
74%.
Well, I would think it'd be 99%.
Yeah.
But
there are some that still smoke.
But only 30% of us view fast food companies as unfavorable. You know, I know that I'm one of those people that view fast food as not real food. And
right.
It's really very unfavorable.
I agree. I think the problem is two-pronged, Dar. I think it's the food industry, and I also think it's a lack of education for
nutrition education. And
that's why we're here.
That's why we're here, and that's why we have a business, educating people.
Not only educating people, but healing people.
Yes, exactly.
So what we find is the food marketers use catchy names and symbols to recall positive memories and thoughts to basically condition people to buy their products. And we buy and we buy and we buy. We buy the low-fat, skinny yogurt with the ladies running in the bikinis on the beach.
And we believe that it's going to help.
And we believe, right, exactly.
So, you know, people really are manipulated easily by the food company's marketing campaigns. You know, and that rational decision-making is kind of limited. You know, many people, I think, just kind of eat unconsciously.
Oh, sure.
They don't even know what they're eating. And people are so busy that we truly have become what we call the fast food nation.
Exactly. So not only do they eat unconsciously, but they eat addictively, you know, like with sugar. Just, you know, I can't tell you how many people, you know, sugar, sugar, sugar.
Yes.
But Fast Food Nation, as you just mentioned, is a great book and also a great video to sit down with your family and watch, to even show your kids, is Super Size Me.
A lot of our clients and a lot of have shown that to their kids two or three times.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. Well, I want to watch it again myself, but it's just amazing that this man who was eating McDonald's for, you know, three meals a day for 30 days, 1 month, and it just it increased all of his blood work. Mm-hmm. In a bad way. I mean, his cholesterol went sky high, even his liver enzymes.
And also he gained weight, all kinds of other things.
And it took him over a year to recover.
Exactly. And that all happened within one month. And we know a lot of people eating fast food almost for every meal, and people think that that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize what it's doing to their health. So I know that food industry marketers say that they only offer people what they want.
Right.
And that individuals, they really can make the decision themselves, what they put in their mouth. Well, I'm not so sure that that's true.
Well, yeah, Dar, when you see a product advertised over and over again, we start to believe, and we're told that it's healthy. We're told by the media, what most people are watching TV, that's where they get a lot of their information, that it's healthy. You know, and remember, at one time, everybody thought margarine was healthy and butter was unhealthy,
and
because
it was
that's what we were told.
It was advertised over and over, wasn't it, Wendy?
Yep. Yeah, so much that there are many doctors and healthcare providers that still believe that. And it was not based on fact, but it was based on advertising, and advertising that convinced people to buy a product that causes heart disease and increases obesity.
And that's right, and that's exactly what margarine does. It increases heart disease and increases obesity. Interesting. There's a lot of other products out on the market like that, aren't there?
Several.
Yes. So I guess we have to ask, do you really think that 2 out of 3 Americans have an eating disorder, or do you really believe people are choosing foods to make them gain weight?
I doubt it.
Again, do we think that 2/3 of Americans are foolish? I mean, we hear this all the time, stupid, lazy. Well, I don't think so.
Undisciplined. Yep.
Yes.
Or that they have a weak character or normally inferior.
Yes, we hear that all the time. I think a lot of overweight people are treated that way.
Exactly. Yeah, they are. Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, the food industry spends billions of dollars each year to develop products, the packaging, the advertising, the marketing techniques to get us to buy more food. It entices us. I mean, how can you not eat that stuff when you see it over and over and over and over?
Exactly. And more food sold means more profits to the companies. Many big food companies are posting some very sizable profits this year. We've seen that in the paper the last few days.
We certainly have. You know, when I think of food companies, somehow, you know, I never think of broccoli growers or egg farmers or raspberry pickers. My mind always goes right to the cereal companies, to the frozen food dinners, the Girl Scout cookies.
To all of the things that are in a box, that minefield called the supermarket, right? Well, my mind goes right to the soda pop industry. Did you realize that 75% of high schools actually have contracts with beverage and soda companies?
I think that's amazing.
That is, and that the contracts stipulate how many thousands of cases of soda each district has to buy, and bigger profits come from soda sales than from juice or even the water.
So I think we have to take some of this junk food, and I put Girl Scout cookies and a lot of cereals and all those
things.
But I
thought they took the trans fats out of the Girl Scout cookies.
Not all of them, and they still didn't take the high fructose corn syrup out or any of that stuff. So, you know, we're still eating. If they've taken the trans fats out, we're still eating high sugar food.
Yeah, well, they haven't. I think there was only one brand, you know, one of the kinds, because I had several clients come in and say they had purchased them, and the second ingredient was hydrogenated fat. So
okay.
Didn't happen.
So I think we must take we kind of have to lower the status of junk food to the level of cigarettes.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
You know, really, junk food is not real food. And, you know, soda, we can think of that as liquid sugar.
Yeah. Candy.
Candy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, most crackers and cookies aren't really baked either, but they're engineered, almost like illegal drugs to an addict.
So think about that.
With lots of addictive chemicals.
They are, and people don't even know it. You know, as I say in class, I don't know anyone addicted to broccoli.
Right.
Ah, but maybe to Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, right. Just you. Only you.
But we both know a lot of clients that are addicted to diet soda.
Diet pop is the worst.
Yeah. And, we have to tell our little story that I've had several people that have stopped drinking 5-6 cans of diet pop and have lost 20, 30, 40 pounds within a very short time, like a month, just getting off that diet pop.
I know, isn't that amazing? And yeah. And this is called diet pop.
Yes. Interesting. So
somehow that just doesn't make sense.
You know, the other thing that people get addicted to is chips, licorice, red licorice.
Lots of people addicted to licorice.
And M&Ms.
Yeah, that's huge. M&Ms, yeah. So what is a person to do? I think most people realize that the low-calorie count points nutrition doesn't really work in the long run, does it, Dar?
No, we are actually seeing lots of clients that had gastric bypass, and they're either having a lot of health problems now or they're regaining their weight.
Right, exactly. Exactly. In the second part of the show, we will give you some set ideas about foods to eat to increase your metabolism.
So things that we haven't talked about, things to avoid, and things that will increase metabolism.
Great. And we also have a great guest, Julie Gronquist, fitness expert from Balance for Life, to join us to suggest an approach to exercise that will be the most beneficial to increase our metabolism. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and our co-host today is Wendy Cates.
Yes,
Dancer.
I'm here.
She's a registered nurse and a nutrition educator, and our topic today is how to improve your metabolism. And if you have questions today, you know, just give us a call at 651-641-1071. And I know it's an important topic to many of you. So with the help of Julie Gromquist from Balance for Life, you know, we're going to talk about nutritional ideas and exercise ideas to help you increase and support your metabolism. So we got a lot of work to do this afternoon.
Yes, we do. A lot of work to do this afternoon. So again, Julie, we really want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
And for all our listeners, Julie is the owner of two workout studios, one in Shoreview and one in White Bear Lake, right next to our new office, Star, at White Bear Lake at 3596 Linden Avenue, Suite 5. And Julie, you actually have 14 years of experience as a personal trainer, helping people increase their metabolism and get healthy and lose weight. And I mean, whatever their goals are.
Right.
Not everybody's goal is to lose weight. But
yep, varies.
So, you know, Julie, we've been working together for a few years now, haven't we? We've been teaching classes at your studios. You've taken classes from us.
Yeah.
It's been a very nice working relationship with you.
Yeah.
So we welcome you today. And,
thank you.
You know, Julie, I have a great question for you.
Okay.
You know, I have a question that I always ask personal trainers. You know, what is the best thing? What's the best exercise to do to increase and support my personal metabolism? And so what does the research show, Julie?
Yep, that's a great question, Dar, and most people will ask that. What do I need to do? And really, the thing that impacts metabolism the most is increasing muscle, because muscle burns calories, fat does not, fat just sits there. So the more metabolic we can get our muscle moving, the more calories you're going to burn in the day. So for most people, they need to do some sort of resistance training, weight training, something where they're taking their body beyond just their normal day-to-day movements to really increase that muscle.
So you know what, Julie, when I started working out about 5 years ago, one of my goals, and I think we have to almost personalize it for people, one of my goals was, because when my kids, my own children, they're like 37 and 39 now, when they were little kids, I had one in each arm and I could walk up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So when my granddaughters, they're the 16 months apart, my goal was that I could put one in each arm and walk upstairs. And you know what? I can do that.
Good for you.
And that was
now you have a new one, though.
Yeah.
Where are we putting the third one?
So, I mean, I think that we have to bring it down to what are people's goals? Why would they want to even, you know, do the resistance training? Because that's going to make more muscles, right?
Right. Well, it has to be functional. Like you said, you know, am I doing weights because I want to look a certain way, or is it because I want to be able to carry my groceries in from the car without feeling exhausted?
Exactly.
So it really has to be functional to your lifestyle. You know, am I trying to improve my golf game, or am I trying to be able to walk up the stairs when I go out
without
and about?
Huffing and puffing.
Exactly. So it really is specific to your individual goal. For the most part, people do need some sort of cardiovascular activity. Get that heart rate up, improve your cardiovascular fitness. That improves your endurance so you can go a little bit further. But that resistance training really makes you stronger. Okay, now I can lift that heavy bag of groceries, and then I have the endurance to carry it into the house. So you really do need a combination of both, some sort of cardiovascular to really improve that system, but then you need that functional strength to be able to do day-to-day things.
Okay, I mean, mm-hmm. that's a good answer.
I think that's a great answer. I totally agree.
You know, it means I have to do both, don't I?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
we know a lot of people who say 30 minutes every day of the week. Do you think that we need more or less, Julie, 30 minutes a day?
Well, I'm going to be a little wishy-washy with that.
Oh,
okay. It really depends on the person. You know, if I have a really active job and I'm a nurse and I'm walking the floor and I'm lifting patients, then I'm going to need less activity beyond that because I'm moving all day. Versus if I'm at a desk all day and I'm sitting down for 8 to 9 hours, I'm going to need a lot more activity to counteract that sedentary job.
Oh, so go
but
back.
But now all
to
those jobs are in India, so we don't have to worry about that anymore.
We have a lot here still.
Yeah, we do. That's what I was just thinking too, Wendy. All those outsourced jobs to India,
mm-hmm.
are those jobs that you're talking about. So when you're talking about that, how many minutes? Because I have a job like that, unless I'm up teaching,
mm-hmm.
but I'm seeing clients sitting down all day long. And that's why I teach sometimes, because I can be up walking around.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about then, really realistically?
You know, if someone has just a health goal, you know, I just want to maintain my health and be healthy, most people can get away with 30 minutes. If I have
a
30 minutes a day.
Okay.
If I have a goal of losing weight, let's say I want to lose 50 pounds.
Yep.
And I have a sedentary job. 30 minutes is not going
not
to cut
gonna
it.
Happen. Not going to happen.
Now, granted, if that's all I can do, it's going to make a difference. But my frustration level might give up before I get to my goal because the progress will be so slow. So you really have to factor that in. How much time do I have? And then how much patience do I have to get to my goal? Do I want to put a little bit more time in to get there a little quicker? Or am I saying, nope, all I have is 30 minutes and I just understand it's going to take me a little longer to get there. And I think one of the things is really looking at your day-to-day activities. We talked about job, but just what else you're doing throughout the day. One thing I encourage clients to do is wear a pedometer for a week and see how many steps do you get in just doing your day-to-day activity. And I've had clients that, again, are sedentary jobs. They come and they say, I had 750 steps for the day.
Oh, my
and
gosh. They must have taken the elevator and parked close to the building.
It's easy to do when you're not moving. And I say your goal is, you know, recommended research 10,000 steps a day. And they just looked at me with these big eyes of how am I going to do that? You know, and so I say, you're not going to go from 750 to 10,000.
Right.
Let's try doing 200 more steps a day and just really gradually increasing it from there.
Well, you know, one of the things that I do, Julie, every day is I go up and down my stairs because I got a 2-level house.
Uh-huh.
I do that in the morning about 3 or 4 times extra than I would really have to do just to get in a little bit more activity, because I know once I get to work, then I'm in a chair, and I'm in a chair for the next 8 hours probably.
Mm-hmm. And it's time for us already to take a break. This is so interesting. It's like, anyway, we'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition. If you have any questions about increasing your metabolism, give us a call at 651-641-1071, and we'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
How is your energy? Are you too tired to do more than just get by? Visualize how your life would look if you had abundant energy. What would change? More family time? More personal time? Greater productivity? Perhaps you would exercise regularly, meet friends for dinner, take that class that interests you. If a lack of energy is keeping you from enjoying the life you want to lead, think about your food choices. A diet high in processed food does not supply the nutrients important for good energy. Your body knows the difference. It needs real foods and a balanced diet to run well. Nutritional Weight and Wellness understands the biochemistry of metabolism and energy. Their nutritionists look at your health, energy challenges, and lifestyle to create a personalized eating plan that will help you look and feel your best. If you want to re-energize your life, start by learning to eat in a way that creates vitality from the inside out.
Nutritional Weight and Wellness, 651-699-3438, or visit their website, weightandwellness.com, to learn more about classes or individual consultations. Offices located in both St. Paul and Wayzata.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Well, thank you for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition today. And if you have questions about metabolism, just give us a call at 651-641-1071. And that song reminds me that a great way to get your body moving is to dance.
Yeah.
And Julie, what are some other ways that you kind of help people think about how to get your body moving when you maybe have that job that you're in that chair all the time and you need to move when you get out?
Yep. I think the first step is to be conscious of it. You know, you have to think about adding in extra things and get out of your day-to-day rut of sedentary.
Just like you were talking, giving people one of the big reasons you have them get a pedometer is the awareness.
Exactly.
That, you know, oh, wow, I only did 750 steps instead of the 10,000.
Julie, how much does one of those pedometers cost? And
they're really inexpensive these days. You can get a good pedometer for $7 to $10. A lot of healthcare providers, such as Health Partners, Blue Cross Blue Shield, you can call in and actually join their walking 10,000 steps a day program. They'll send it to you for free. If you're a member.
So that whole program is free then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Does it get any better than that?
No, not free is pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, I think just making those conscious efforts. If you're a person that doesn't like to do things alone, trying to walk with a friend at lunchtime at work.
Well,
that's
our Wendy.
Ta-da!
That's a great way
to do
it.
That's what Wendy and I do because I need Wendy's support to get me out doing this walking like that.
Yep.
And then we can talk, and I forget that...
You're walking.
I forget that I'm walking.
Yep,
and an
great.
Hour has gone by.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You know, another thing that I was watching my little granddaughters the other day. I have, you know, and a lot of houses have this area where you can just kind of circle around, and you go in one door, and you come out the other, around and around and around. Well, they use it as a track.
around they go. Well, you can do that.
I can do that. I can be talking to people on the phone, and I can be walking around. And I probably, I look at sometimes when you look at how long you've talked to a person, sometimes it's 30 minutes. Hey, you got 30 minutes of walking in. And that, I think those are the things that we have to keep trying to figure out for people and ourselves.
Yeah, and associate it with something. Like you said, every time I'm on the phone, I'm going to pull in my abdominals or I'm going to kick my legs out and I'm going to do something, a conscious effort.
Speaking of the phone, we have a full board over here.
We
need to take some
questions. Yes. So we have someone on the line.
Mary, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi. Thanks.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
I have a question about fluctuation in the metabolic rate. For example, say you have a big workout, you've been on the stationary bike for an hour and you've burned 500 calories, you've increased your metabolic rate. How long does that last? Number of hours? You know, till the next day and you have to do it again.
Okay, I would think one of the factors is what do you eat after workshop or after working out? Because you've got to eat some protein and some healthy fat to keep your metabolism going right after you work out. That would be my answer.
And Julie?
Yeah, it's about, research shows it's about an hour and a half after the workout that you still have an increased metabolic rate from where you started. So, that's why we recommend if you're going to exercise in the evening, for example, you don't want to work out at 8 o'clock at night and go to bed at 8:30 because you're not getting that post metabolic benefit. So it's about an hour and a half afterward that your metabolism's still higher than when you started out with that workout.
And Julie, I believe if I've read right, if you eat protein and healthy fat and a little bit of vegetable carbohydrate, you can extend that to another half an hour at least. If not to another hour.
Correct.
So you can get maybe 2.5 hours of good metabolism. Wow.
Can I still on?
Yep. Well, thank you for the call.
Okay.
Thanks,
right.
Mary.
Bye.
So, sure, are we going to take more calls?
Oh, I think we need to.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
Janie?
Hello?
Hello, Janie. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. Thank you. My sister, who actually is in Chicago and listening to you guys over the computer right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah. she has severe, severe fibromyalgia to the point that she really can't, she can barely exercise at all.
I right.
Mean,
uh-huh.
Walking up and down stairs is about a struggle. Is there anything she can do for her diet or?
Yes.
Okay.
What? I mean, you know, if we look at diet, she basically has to get sugar out of her diet. She has to get processed carbohydrates, wheat, gluten, rye, those kinds of those things.
Dairy.
And she has to eat a very simple diet of lots of vegetables, healthy fats like olive oil, butter, avocados, and animal protein that is more organic type, grass-fed, doesn't have the antibiotics, the hormones in it. And she probably will feel better in a fairly short time. The other thing, often people with fibromyalgia have trouble sleeping, so I always recommend 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium at bedtime so that they can get down and start sleeping much better.
It helps with those muscle aches, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, she loves pot roast with potatoes. How are potatoes?
Some potato would be okay, but not too much.
Yeah, you want about a half a cup of potatoes because they turn into sugar, and let's get some green leafies in there, and she can have her pot roast.
Okay, how about the carrots?
Well, those are higher in sugar, too.
Okay, so she might go less on those.
Yeah. But, you know, other vegetables would be okay. So you just start substituting other vegetables for some of those higher carb ones.
But animal protein would be good for her.
Yes,
it would.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks,
Janie.
Thank you for the call.
And it's time to take another break. So we'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Congratulations. It's a new addition. A beautiful new office. The nutrition experts at Nutritional Weight and Wellness have helped thousands of people make healthy, even life-altering changes in the way that they eat and the way that they feel. And now it's more convenient than ever to tap into their expertise. Nutritional Weight and Wellness opens a third location on February 5th, located in beautiful White Bear Lake. Go Bears! Just like at the offices in St. Paul and Wayzata, this office will be a place for individual nutrition consultations and for nutrition classes. Stop in and visit the newest office on Linden Avenue, just off County Road E, a few blocks east of Highway 61. If you live in the North Metro, here's one more reason to work with Nutritional Weight and Wellness. They're smart, helpful, provide great motivation, and now they're convenient, too. Find out more about the consultation and classes in St. Paul, Wayzata, and in White Bear Lake at their website. It's weightandwellness.com for the nutrition experts at Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Well, thank you for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. And again, if you have questions about metabolism, give us a call at 651-641-107. And you know
one.
What? Now, one. Okay,
1071. Don't forget
okay.
the one.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's because we're moving along so fast, and we've got your body moving, I think. We've got
yes,
some ideas.
Yes, we do.
So what we've got you doing is moving away from cookies and chips and moving toward
protein and vegetables.
And I want to talk about, before we get into that, because I want to talk about a class, because we have a class coming up on Saturday morning, March 31st, at the White Bear office, and it's Nutrition for Young Adults. It's a two-hour class. And it's
so we're going to get the kids moving, too.
Yes, exactly. And so it's a nutrition class, and, you know, we kind of focus this on things that will help avoid acne or, nutrition for acne reduction,
academic performance, sports performance,
maintain
moods.
An appropriate, all those things. And they can really see what some of these foods will do to their body. So if you want more information or if you want to register, our number is 651-773-0000. Or you can look on our website. It's weightandwellness.com. And I guess that's about what we want to talk about. And I know we have a lot of callers, so I guess we should get back to callers.
Okay, let's do it. We have Colleen on the line. Colleen, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. So here's my question. I am a long-time listener to you guys, have taken classes, have even seen a nutritionist a couple of times there. I really practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a great exerciser. I do the weight training. I do the whole deal.
Right.
But I, about 18 months ago, sort of started putting on this kind of upper body weight, accumulating fat on my upper body. And I cannot seem to find anything that will impact this. And I'm wondering if it's a metabolic question, if you might have a suggestion, if this could be, if insulin resistance acts like that, if you're not actually a purist about everything you put in your mouth, and I'm not there, but I'm close. And or if underactive thyroid, I'm kind of wondering.
I think that's what I would do is I'd go and get a total panel from your doctor of thyroid function.
Because, and hormones, too,
yeah,
her
and
other hormones. Are you perimenopausal at all?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it could be that, too.
It could be that, too.
But, you know, because it doesn't make sense what's going on because you exercise and you're eating well.
Right.
You should not be becoming more insulin resistant unless you are actually adding more carbs than you think. But it doesn't sound like you are.
But let's just check in with Julie quick, too, because if you're doing the same exercise over and over again, your body does get used to it. Right, Julie?
Yeah, but with her mentioning specifically upper body weight gain, I would tend to think maybe it would be good to get it checked out versus if it was overall or things like that. Because the first thing I thought was maybe insulin or hormone related too.
Yep. Right.
So rather than switching up the exercises, I think that would be the secondary based on what the findings are.
Does that make sense, Colleen?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it feels like the only really option. I haven't completely, worn out. I've done a lot. I've tried gluten-free for 6 months. I mean, I've done a lot of things to figure out, and I'm not making any progress. So
get your thyroid checked and get a total panel, a full panel of thyroid function.
Okay.
All right.
Good
Thanks
suggestion.
For the call.
Thanks for your help.
All
Thanks,
right.
Colleen.
Bye-bye.
And we'll take another caller.
Okay.
Cheryl or Sharon?
Sharon?
Is it Sharon?
Hello?
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi, girls. How are you this afternoon?
Great. Good. How are you?
I'm great. I have a question in regards to exercise. I have I exercise early in the morning before I go to work, and I'm kind of limited to my time. Can I get the same benefit from doing a cardio routine and then doing a resistance routine in the evening, or do you have to do that all at the same time?
Nope, you can definitely separate it out.
Okay, and I'll get the same benefit.
Yes, and the other thing you can do, sometimes I'll do with people, is maybe some intervals with the cardio because you get a higher intensity in a shorter period of time, and then you have a little bit of time for the weights, too, in the morning.
Excellent.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
thank you for
welcome.
Calling.
Thank you.
So we'll keep on with the calls.
Okay,
here.
We're going caller after caller.
Okay.
I guess people have found our show.
I guess they have.
I love it.
Suzanne, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Hello.
Suzanne?
Yes.
Yes. I would like some information on the older woman. I am 61.
You're young. You're young yet.
quit smoking 4 years ago, finally.
Oh, good.
Good for you.
Doctor took me off. Yeah, that's been a battle. The doctor took me off hormones about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I've gained 30 pounds. I cannot lose it. I exercise. I lift weights. I belong to Weight Watchers. And I am losing, but ounces at a time. I mean, literally ounces.
Well, you know what? One of the possibilities is when you look at your eating plan, you may be eating too much high fructose corn syrup and processed foods. If you're eating any of those things on the Weight Watchers diet that isn't just vegetables and healthy meat and good fat, because many of their suggestions are include high fructose corn syrup and a lot of chemicals and trans fats.
Yeah, I try and watch that very closely.
Well, so what would you eat for a snack at night?
I don't snack.
Well, maybe you're slowing down your metabolism then. Maybe you're not eating enough through the day and you're slowing your metabolism down.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, check our website out. We've got some great classes. We've got a weight and wellness class, and we were teaching them all over the Twin City area. And we really teach you the basics of nutrition rather than just low-calorie point counting.
Okay.
Well, I'm thinking, Dar, too, Sharon, a great class would be our Jumpstart Your Metabolism class.
Okay.
And Julie and I are actually going to be teaching that in combination at the end of April, the last two Saturdays in April, April 21st and 28th, at our White Bear location. Those are Saturdays from 10 to 12, so you'll spend an hour learning about nutrition and then an hour working with Julie in the gym.
So what area do you live in? What part of the town, city?
I live north of White Bear.
Oh, well, that would be a perfect class for you.
It would be, except I'm going to be out of town that week in the lab.
Okay. Oh, darn. Okay.
But we are teaching the classes some other places.
Okay.
Coming up this coming week.
Yeah, we have one in the community ed, but they're also on our website, too, like in Hudson and Apple Valley and Plymouth.
I will check those out, because I don't think there's enough information out there for older, active adults.
Yes, exactly.
I agree with you. Yep.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
And you probably need less carbohydrates than you ever have needed before.
Okay. And, you know, when I talk to my doctor about it, she just says, oh, well, that's what happens when you get old.
Hey, you are not old.
No, you're not.
I don't feel I am.
Okay, Sharon, thank you for calling the show.
Thanks.
Bye.
So are we needing to
take a break? Oh. How did you guess?
Oh, I don't know.
All right. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Sarah, did you hear about the new diet to drop 2 dress sizes in 2 weeks?
Ugh, I'm so sick of hearing about new diets that you can lose all this weight only to gain back more. Remember when we tried the cabbage soup diet? Yuck, the smell of cooked cabbage still gets to me.
I do need to lose weight, but I wish there was a plan to keep it off and do it healthy. Haven't we tried everything out there?
Feels like it. Hey, I listened to that show on FM 107. It's called Dishing Up Nutrition, and I heard them talking about a weight and wellness series.
Oh, yeah, I like that show. Too. I learn a lot from tuning in, and my favorite part is that they don't believe in dieting either.
Given our track records of diets, I'd have to say that I believe that too. Low fat, low carb, I'm sick of them all. I end up tired, I'm cranky, and I'm regaining any weight I lose.
If you're sick of all those fad diets or losing weight only to gain it all back and then some, call Nutritional Weight and Wellness and sign up for their 6-week classes at 651-699-3438. That's 651-699-3438. Or log on to weightandwellness.com.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
This is for all you girls about 13. High school can be so rough, can be so mean. Hold on to you.
Well, thank you for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. And if you, we're talking about metabolism, and I know exercise is part of metabolism. And Julie, I know people are going to have more questions for you even after the show. So how can people find you? What's your phone number?
Yeah, the phone number, the best number is 651-415-9500. That's our Shoreview office.
Okay. And you'll answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll do our best, or we'll get back to you right away.
All right.
So, sounds good.
Wendy, should we take that?
Yeah, let's take our, yeah.
Okay.
Diane, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I have two separate questions. The first one is pertaining to drinking water. Is it better for the metabolism or to drink it room temperature, ice cold? What is the answer to that?
Well, I would say drink however you want to drink it. Just get it in.
Okay. Well, I drink plenty of water. I just had heard various things as to there being a difference.
You know what? They say that if you drink room temperature water, you can drink more. But, hey, drink whatever you want.
Okay.
Would you agree, Julie?
The other question was in regards to, I've heard that if you eat more spicy food, that increases your metabolism. Is that so, or?
Well, actually, I have heard that, and we know that cinnamon
balances the blood sugar.
Balances the blood sugar. So I know that one of the things that I've added to my mix that I have in the morning is a teaspoon of cinnamon to balance my blood sugar a little bit more, and it does work.
Oh,
so,
great.
You know, yeah, there's some of those things that do make a difference for people. So good questions.
So, is there a book that you recommend for people to maybe read on some of these specifics?
You know, I don't know of any book. I think one of the good books out there on metabolism than healthy eating is Dr. Schwarzbein. It's called The Schwarzbein Principle, and that's a great book to read.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Diane.
Yep, bye-bye.
So, Wendy.
So, yeah, well, we know, Dar, that dietary changes are the first order of business in supporting our metabolism.
And, you know, what we know, that research recommends protein. Animal protein several times a day to increase metabolism. And we understand that animals that are grass-fed, not corn-fed with growth hormones and antibiotics are the most beneficial. So that means eat fish, chicken, turkey, eggs, beef, pork, natural, free-range will support metabolism.
So the muffin, the chips, the sweetened yogurt, the cereal will slow your metabolism. So we want to get rid of those.
So again, the latest research recommends healthy fats with every meal and snack.
Low fat means low metabolism.
I mean, isn't that a brain buster?
That is. Often low-fat products contain bad fats such as soybean oil, and then they add that wonderful high-fructose corn syrup.
Yogurts,
so people will
look at your labels, people. Yep.
And lots of chemicals. The new research points to low-fat as harmful to our metabolism and harmful to our health. This is information that will spin your brain around.
It certainly will. You know, I think let's get back a little bit and talk about some other ways that we can filter in some exercise. And, you know, like, I grew up on a farm.
Exactly. So did I. We were always very busy and very active. And, you know, that was connected to a purpose.
And, you know, one of the things that I had to get over in my head was that exercise meant I was getting something done.
Yeah.
I was doing a job. And I couldn't just go get on a treadmill. I had to be accomplishing something. I don't know if you ever had that one.
Oh, sure.
If I was throwing bales, that was great. So I think we have to kind of examine our own, where we came from, how we view some of that, right?
Right. And the huge thing is that what motivates us, you know, like what lights us up.
Yeah.
Right, Julie?
Exactly. Like some people might be multitaskers. If I'm going to exercise, I want to be accomplishing something.
Uh-huh.
Well, there we go. We're talking to the right person then.
And so, yeah, you can look at doing things like.
So now, Julie, do you have your computer hooked up to your treadmill?
Not yet, but I am always constantly multitasking. And I laugh when I design exercises with clients. I'm like, okay, we can do these three separate, or we can do it all at the same time. And they like that. They say, great, I get it done three times faster and I get it all done. I say, yep. I think looking at, you know, do you have a pet, walking your dog, you're getting your dog exercise, you at the same time, finding activities that you can do with your kids, spending time with your kids, going to the park, playing at the park with them, you know, things that you're able to spend time with the people that are important to you and get in movement, cleaning your house, you know, things like that.
I'm not going to sign up for that one. I'm going to do something else.
Well, you're going to let Bill get his exercise.
Well, and coming up on gardening season, really big for people too, being able to just spend time in the yard, you know, and getting some activity in that way.
And a lot of times I mow my own lawn because it's a built-in exercise for me.
Exactly.
Well, I know we were talking before the show, Julie, about the garage door openers and, you know, all these automatic things that we have that, you know, we don't move.
If you're on a riding lawnmower, you're not going to get that exercise.
No, that's right.
Do you push it, Dar?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
there
good.
You go.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't have that big of a lawn. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that people can do to build this in. And I think we do hear a lot of people that complain and they're frustrated with their own metabolism. And sometimes people have done things to their metabolism that slowed it down a lot.
Exactly, by the restricted calorie eating that we do, not eating enough food.
I mean, there's a lot of.
I know that's hard for people to believe, but
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that are living on less than 1,000 calories a day, and they're just slowly, slowly, slowly reducing their metabolism until it's in kind of a critical state, and then when they eat 1,200 calories, suddenly they gain weight, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of sad, so. As you kind of look at yourself, you have to think about anything that you can do to add some exercise in and to add some protein in. That's what I would recommend for people.
Yeah, now I like this one. Dance for 30 minutes to your favorite songs. And I know you're having a dance class at Balance for Life, aren't you?
Yeah, we have
that sounds great.
A dance class. Yep, it's incorporating some different dances from all over the world.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Hey, we can salsa.
So now, do people that sign up for that class, do they have to really know how to dance? Or?
No, it's a fitness class that's incorporating dance. So it's not teaching you dance. It's using dance movements. Some people say, you know, I love to dance. I love to do those things. I haven't done it in years.
Sounds great.
So that's great. That's absolutely wonderful. Well, this has been a really fun show. Thank you all for listening. Get out there and take a walk, exercise, move it, and we'll see you next week on listen to us next week on Dishing Up Nutrition.